Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters. Today we're focusing on a very important topic that touches millions of families, Alzheimer's disease. November is National Alzheimer's Disease Awareness Month, and we're joined by Melanie Hendricks from Alzheimer's Tennessee to help us understand more about this condition and how it affects our communities.
Melanie, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for asking me to join you.
Of course.
So to start off with, Melanie, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role with Alzheimer's Tennessee?
I've been with Alzheimer's Tennessee since 2018 in some various capacities. I started out as a volunteer and then into a part-time and then end up full-time. I'm the director of the Upper Cumberland region of Alzheimer's Tennessee, so I've got the 14 counties of the Upper Cumberland. And our office is located here in Cookeville.
So you started as a volunteer and they got you on in there.
They did. I was living with Alzheimer's. My husband was declining.
Okay.
And so I started doing some volunteer work and then it increased. There's a lady who passed away last year named Melinda Bilbrey.
Yes.
And if you talk to a lot of people with Upper Cumberland, with Alzheimer's Tennessee here in the Cumberlands, Melinda will have somehow hooked them in, and she did me. And so I was volunteering, helping with the walk and that sort of thing. And then one of the ladies that was the director then left for another job and left two people in the office. And then the person that was left, and that left the lowly little part-time. And so they said, well, will you help us out for a little while? So I did, and I stayed part-time, and then a lady named Lynn Drew came in for a couple of 3 years or so, and then she took another job, and so I filled in for her. And as I was filling, I thought, well, you know, you might as well just do it.
Yeah.
Because there was the passion there, and sometimes the devil you know is better than the one you don't know. So I thought, I can work for myself,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
So I became full-time in 2 years ago.
Okay.
So you've been with them for a while.
I have. It's longer than you realize.
Yeah.
I was retired really retired for several years. And that's when my husband was diagnosed and he started declining. My parents were aging, so I was taking care of them. My mother had Alzheimer's a form of dementia. I think she might have had vascular. We never were sure. So I was taking care of them and taking care of him. And then I started volunteering, and one thing led to another. Now I'm back in the workplace full time.
Yeah. So you've been with Alzheimer's disease in multiple different capacities.
Yes. I have been the caregiver, and I have been the educator.
Yeah.
Well, that leads to the next question then, Melanie. So for those listeners who might not be familiar, what does National Alzheimer's Disease Awareness Month mean to you?
Well, it actually was started in, 1983 by Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
And he proclaimed November to be National Alzheimer's Awareness Month. So that's when you try to get more attention and more education out. We do it all year long, but then there's certain months that try to get that information out and get people more engaged and more understanding what's going on in the world with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, that is important. I didn't realize it was President Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
And the irony of that is he did that in 83, and then he was diagnosed, and he wrote his letter in 94 to announce to the world that he had Alzheimer's. And I believe it was his mother that had suffered from
Alzheimer's. That is coming to my brain, is that it was his mother. And
yeah.
It was in kind of honor of her to bring awareness.
Yeah. And so then he proclaims his National Alzheimer's and then ends it up that he experienced it himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take a step back just for a minute. And can you tell us exactly what Alzheimer's disease is and how is it different from other types of dementia that sometimes we hear about? Because you did mention your mother, you think, may have had vascular dementia.
Right.
So there is some differences in types of dementia.
There is. Alzheimer's disease is a slow decline of the brain. And there's plaque, that's growing on the brain, and they call it tangles. Mm-hmm. And it's just where the brain is starting to kind of separate and the flow of information won't process through anymore. So that's what Alzheimer's is in the very simple mm-hmm. terms.
Yep.
And it's slow. Generally, it's slow. It can progress over years. Mm-hmm. And you start noticing things like just memory loss and not being able to perform normal, simple tasks. And dementia is the overall umbrella. Alzheimer's is a type of
right.
dementia.
Yes.
And it's the most prevalent type. There's about 85% of all dementia is Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And then vascular dementia is caused by head injuries or strokes.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Lewy body dementia, mm-hmm. and then I think that's the third most prevalent type, and then the last one is Lewy body.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all have slightly different components, some more violent, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Behaviors more bizarre than with Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. But you can have that with Alzheimer's as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that kind of helps us understand it a little bit. So that was a good explanation for us.
So for the listeners then, if they're considering this and kind of looking at their family or even loved ones or just neighbors, what are some of the early warning signs that families can be watching for or should be watching for, especially as people age?
Well, you get into this, is it normal aging or is it something I need
exactly.
to be worried about?
Yes. Yeah.
And there is normal things that happen. And one of the things, you forget things.
Yes.
On any day, any given time, I think I may be getting Alzheimer's because, you know.
Same.
You just get overloaded and you forget things. And so that's.
But that's different.
If I'm
busy, I'm overloaded, and I'm forgetting little things.
Yeah.
But one thing we like to say with Alzheimer's, if you can't ever get it pulled out of your brain, then that's something to be concerned about.
Yeah.
Just normal forgetfulness, you'll wake up in the middle of the night and remember what it was you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, yeah, that's that person's name.
Mm-hmm.
Inability to name simple objects, calling people not by their name, but that woman that lives down the street or, you know, that sort of thing, not being able to do that. Those are all things to watch for
right.
that could be signs that something's coming on. Not being able to get dressed well, tying shoes, not real concerned about basic hygiene anymore. I don't understand what the connection between Alzheimer's, dementia, and taking a bath is. But there is definitely one
there is definitely,
because
yes.
they do not, a person with dementia does not like to be bathed.
No. It must be a sensory thing. I mm-hmm. mean, I'm not an expert at all, but, you know, it almost makes you think, have noticed that with basic hygiene.
I had one of our speakers at Karen and Copen talked about this lady that didn't like to take a bath, and it all went back to the fact that she didn't want to be undressed by people that didn't know her.
Oh,
well, that's true.
You know, she was fairly cold natured. So, you know, stripping her down for a bath, she got cold. So trying
it's
to figure out ways to do that is to avoid that and keep them as covered as you
yeah.
can while you're still bathing them. That's important.
Hard. Oh, yeah. I mean, 100% I could see that, because I think about all the patients at the nursing homes that I've taken care of, and, you know, and you try to wrap them up and the best that you can, but a lot of them just freeze to death. And I feel for them because I freeze to death also. So it's so uncomfortable. So I could definitely see
right.
how that can be more of an uncomfortable situation.
One of the places that will tend to maybe figure out something's going on and memory might be slipping is in handling finances. So banks
yeah.
watch for crazy things that's going on with banking accounts, not being able to balance checkbook. Of course, with online banking,
I know that's hard anymore.
It is hard, and just doing that kind of thing.
That's how I knew with my mom. She just couldn't. She always kept the books for my dad's business, and then herself. And just in the last 5-6 years, she just it would take her forever to do her taxes, and that shouldn't be, and she couldn't figure out numbers, and yeah, that was one of the signs that I saw mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, with my husband, he could fix anything, mm-hmm. but as his started to, you know, think something's going on here, because we'd go buy something at Walmart for him to put together, and it never went together like it should. And in the later days, it always yeah. did, but you know, there's so you just
and so
notice,
that was your way that you knew
yeah, you notice things like that starting to take place. And yeah.
Does the person get frustrated, or do they realize that's happening? You know, like they can't recall names, they're not good with remembering numbers.
I think that the majority of the people do understand mm-hmm. that something's going on, and that they can't remember a name. And I know I was talking with a lady this week, and she said, I can't remember anything. She said, I just can't carry on a conversation anymore. And I think she's worried that it may be going, you know, something may, because she's got the hereditary component that may or may not be.
Right, right.
But she's worried about it. And like with my husband, he got terribly frustrated about it mm-hmm. to the point that, you know, I just didn't ask him to do some of those right. things anymore. Because right. it wasn't worth it.
No, yeah. no. And not, and then for them to get upset.
Right.
And they can't control that.
Right. And I do think early on, for sure, that many people do know when they get frustrated, because family members that we've had too, they would make comments, well, I just can't remember anything. And, you know, those. So they knew that something wasn't right. But.
Well, our next segment, Melanie, is going to be myth versus truth. So let's get ready for that.
Okay.
All right.
Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. We're speaking with Melanie Hendricks from Alzheimer's Tennessee about Alzheimer's disease awareness and support. So, Melanie, in our last segment, we were talking about, you know, what exactly is Alzheimer's disease, talking about different types of dementia, some of the warning signs. So we know that it doesn't just affect the person that's diagnosed, and we were talking a lot about the person. It impacts the entire family when someone is diagnosed. So can you talk a little bit about how the disease affects caregivers and family members?
I think, this is my personal opinion, but I think that as a caregiver, it may impact them more than it does the person with the diagnosis. Yeah. A lot of times, I don't think the person with the dementia may understand the level they are, and they can't do anything about it. And the caregiver is with it 24/7, mm-hmm. can never have a minute's peace. Even if you've got, and I know with my husband, I had somebody that would stay with him, mm-hmm. but I was still absolutely worried to death when I went anywhere that what he was going to do, or that they wouldn't be able to find what he needed. And it would just throw him for a loop. So I think that as a caregiver, the stress is, you just can't really quantify the stress level. It never goes away. I had a family in last week talking about the mother who has Alzheimer's. The son and the daughter-in-law is taking care of her. They don't sleep. The daughter-in-law sleeps in a recliner between the mother-in-law room and her being able to get outside because they're afraid she'll leave. And so she has no peace, never, as they're trying to take care of her. So I think that as a caregiver, it's terribly stressful. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, there's no family for them to turn to get help. So many of the people that call the office and need help, it's just the caregiver and the person with the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't get help. There's not a lot of resources in this area, like for day care, day mm-hmm. support. There's just a couple of options for that. So to get somebody to stay with them is next to impossible. And then it's not cheap. If you can get somebody, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
So then that adds another component of stress
yep.
from the economic situation. Yep. I mean, just the simple, how do you go get groceries without taking the person with you? And just, what are they going to do when I take them, you know? And just getting them out of their normal routine can cause issues and add more stress to the situation.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of strain on the family and caregivers, for sure.
And they're not often, they won't ask for help.
Yeah. I can see that. Been there myself, so I can I can definitely see that. So I'm going to switch gears, if that's all right, Melanie. Myths out there, myths and truths for the listeners. You know, you hear people out in public say things, and so I just want to make sure that with you being the expert, that you can kind of clear some of these up. And you give me your expert opinion, Melanie.
Well, I'm not 50 miles from home.
This is true.
And I didn't bring a briefcase, so am I really an expert?
You are, absolutely.
Yes, you
since
are.
2018.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And you've lived it. So,
yeah,
that's true.
So,
for example, one that we hear a lot is that memory loss is just a normal part of aging. Is that true?
Yes and no. Okay. I mean, as we get older, we do have some issues with memory. And I love it when the person comes in and they're 93 and they think mama might be getting Alzheimer's. Well, at 93, you're probably going to lose a little bit of an edge. But the things of just forgetting where you put things, never being able to recall, you know, names, some of the things we talked about earlier, can't find the right word, can't carry on a conversation. Those are not normal parts of aging.
Right.
Yeah.
They are a signal that something else is going on. Poor judgment, not being able to function and drive. That's a big one. That's not normal.
Right.
So, that's not just a normal part of aging.
Yeah. So along that line, you said the 93-year-old. So does Alzheimer's only affect older people?
No. Sadly, that's not true.
Yeah.
It's more predominant in the older folks, but you can have in the 40s and 50s, even younger than that. But I've seen a couple that's dealing with the wife having pretty advanced Alzheimer's, and she's not 50.
Yeah.
So you don't expect it, and sometimes it'll get missed because you think that can't be what's going on, but it can be.
Right.
And, I look at, I thought Pat Summitt was one of the greatest coaches ever.
Amen.
And so I followed her journey down the Alzheimer's road. And she was young.
Yes.
I mean, she was in her 50s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And hers progressed pretty quickly.
Yes, it did.
So, no, it can start at any age. Yeah. It's way more prominent over 65.
Yeah. But it can affect.
It can. Yeah.
Definitely.
Other ages. So, last thing is that I think about that I hear people say is, well, I got a DNA test and I'm at risk. You know, I have the gene code to develop Alzheimer's. So, Melanie, there's nothing I can do.
Right.
There's nothing. Now, is that true or false?
That's not true.
Okay.
I know people that have got the gene and they are still functioning fine at this point. A healthy diet, a healthy lifestyle, eating like the Mediterranean kind of diet, exercise, keeping the brain active, socializing, being in, no smoking, just a good healthy lifestyle can improve even if you've got the gene. Even if you're starting to see some decline, making sure you're doing that and taking care of yourself can help and can slow it.
Okay.
Now, will it make it go away? You know, at this point in time, there's nothing to cure it.
Right.
But it can slow it.
Okay. Well, good. That's great advice.
Absolutely. Very helpful information.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to switch topics just a little bit, Melanie, and let's talk about the scope of the issue of Alzheimer's disease. How common is Alzheimer's disease here in Tennessee? Are there trends that we're seeing across the country?
Well, the trend that we're seeing is it's increasing.
Yeah.
Now, the population, people are living longer too.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think that's one of the reasons that we see it.
It is.
People are more aware that this disease exists, because in days gone by, they just called it aging or old timers disease. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it is increasing. And in Tennessee, there's over 140,000 Tennesseans that's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's right now. And I refreshed those numbers, and it came from the internet, so you know that's got to be true. It was the last numbers I looked at was like 100,000. So it's gone up 40,000 in just a couple of years.
Okay.
And 77.2 million Americans over 65 have Alzheimer's, and that's projected to double by 2060.
I think we're going to stop there then before the next segment, and then you're going to tell us more about your organization's mission.
Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. We're speaking with Melanie Hendricks from Alzheimer's Tennessee about Alzheimer's disease awareness and support. So, Melanie, can you tell us more about Alzheimer's Tennessee? What is the organization's mission, and how do you support families affected by this disease?
I can. We were formed in 1983. A group of East Tennessee families pulled away from a larger organization and started Alzheimer's Tennessee. We are focused solely in the state of Tennessee. We're a 501c3 nonprofit, so all the monies that we raise stays within to provide family services and support and research within the state of Tennessee. So that's pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very small overhead, so the money's not going in to fund a bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're pretty lean, so that's the organization. We've been around since 83, so we've got a pretty good track record, and we now have regional offices across the entire state. I think actually the one here in the Cumberlands was the first regional office outside of Knoxville. Our mission, and I'll just read it, it's to serve those facing Alzheimer's disease and related dementias, to promote brain health through education, and to champion global research, prevention, and treatment efforts. So everything we do, we try to put it around that. We're fortunate in that with being in Knoxville, that gives us a good resource into the Pat Summitt Foundation. Vanderbilt has some excellent research going on.
Uh-huh.
So some of our money goes toward research. Most of it goes toward providing family support and services.
Yeah,
we do counseling for families. The phone rings. It's somebody that's at the end of their rope, usually, when they call me. And, you know, a lot of times they're in tears. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Where can I go for help? So we try to talk them through. We don't provide the service per se. We're kind of that conduit
mm-hmm.
that puts them in touch with opportunities. So we counsel. We have support groups throughout the region that get together and share stories and help each other. We've got one in Cookeville. We have a huge support group in Fairfield Glade in the Crossville area, because they are a big user of Alzheimer's Tennessee support in the Cumberland County by the demographics of the group.
Yeah.
We provide education and training. We'll do workshops for family caregivers. We do training. We do first responder training and crisis intervention. I just did one this morning
mm-hmm.
With the young police recruits. Mm-hmm. So trying to kind of give them a feel for what you might run into if you're called to come in and take care of somebody that's broke in a house that really didn't, there's nobody there.
Right.
Then there's we've got a Med Alert process. We've got Silver Alerts, which is a program that we started in 2021 through the legislature. It's a very similar to Amber Alert,
uh-huh.
and it has been extremely effective. Over that point, over the years, we have had over 500 Silver Alerts issued, and less than 40 were not successfully reunited with their family.
Mm.
So,
oh, wow.
I mean, you don't want to lose anybody, but, you know, without that, we've got the Silver Alert, we've got a helpline. We go and spend time with our legislators every year looking out for things that, you know, this bill's coming through, could you support it? Because there is a huge need for resources and help. We just link in with facilities and know, you know, where there is things that they could use.
Right, looking for those gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's awesome. You have a great mission, lots of resources for individuals and for their families as well. And I know community collaboration is a big part of your work with Alzheimer's Tennessee. So how does Alzheimer's Tennessee partner with healthcare providers, schools, local organizations to help build that awareness and support networks?
We try to work, partner with facilities that will, our caregivers. Part of the way we do that is they're a sponsor for our walks. So we know about them and they know about us. And if they need some training to come in, you know, we can try to do that.
Yeah.
We do these things called virtual dementia tours where you simulate what it's like to have Alzheimer's, and their people go through it. And so it gives you a better understanding of what the person's going through. So that's, you know, we do that. We work with our TCAT students mm-hmm. and try to get them involved with us, offering them the opportunity to come and sit through the caregiver training yeah. at no cost to them.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's some of the things that we
nice.
Do.
That's very interesting. Mm-hmm.
So, Melanie, for our listeners who want to make a difference here in the Upper Cumberland, because you said you guys serve all 14 counties, which is where we broadcast to. What are some of the ways people can get involved with Alzheimer's Tennessee?
Well, we do several activities as part of fundraising.
Yes.
And so getting a team together in honor of somebody in that family and doing some fundraising, because we are a nonprofit. So, right. you know, it gets down to we need some money to operate so people can get involved, volunteer. They can come to our walk.
Okay.
In honor of that person, we do the caring and coping workshop. There's always things that I need arms and legs to help me do.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I am a one person office here, so you know there's things that.
Tell me more about this walk that you're talking about.
Okay, it's very timely that I can tell you about it. It's November
yes.
the 8th.
Yes, all right.
And it is not a walk. Like most people think a walk, it's just a small walk around a parking lot wherever. This year we're at the garage as part of Life Church, and we will walk their parking lot. We'll have some fun and activities, and there's incentives for if you raise money, you get a t-shirt, that sort of thing. And so that is our biggest fundraiser is through the walk.
Okay.
And we do one in Cookeville and we do one in Crossville, and raise money for our organization through that. And we love to see families come and have their display the name and the picture of their family member. I've even seen some that'll make up the t-shirt and put their loved one's picture on the t-shirt yeah. and they're walking for dad or mom
right.
or whoever. So
yeah. So are they the same day? So the one in Cookeville and the one in Crossville are both on November 8th? Or
no.
Okay.
Crossville's already been. It was the first Saturday. We usually have them about 2 months apart.
Okay.
And so we do fall season. There's walks across the state in other regions. My region just ends up being in the fall. And
okay.
it's really tough to find a date that there's not a conflict with in the fall.
Yeah.
But we do the best we can to pick a date, and this year I picked the Veterans Day Parade. It's my conflict. The year before it's been the homecoming at Tech.
That's right. It's going to be something every time.
It's going to be something every time.
Especially in the fall
yes.
with
yes.
football. Yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah. And then you look at the calendar and see who's playing at home that mm-hmm. weekend.
That's true.
You do.
So,
you do.
But,
it's hard.
So but what time does it start?
Yeah. It is. It starts at 10, and it's only 2 hours, so we have music, we have some free food, we have some fun and games. And then we walk in memory of somebody.
Okay.
That's interesting that you walk in memory of someone for Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Memory. I caught that, Melanie.
Yeah.
I caught it.
Our slogan is help us make Alzheimer's a memory.
Oh, I like that.
That's good.
That
I
is
like
good.
That. That's catchy. So you said the walk, caring and coping workshop. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Caring and Coping Workshop, it's actually one of my favorite things.
Huh.
We usually bring in a speaker from outside the area, and we will have 2 to 3 components during the day. We'll do a financial component, because that's an extremely important thing for families mm-hmm. to try to figure out and get ahead of.
Yeah.
And so many people are too far down the road with powers of attorney before, you know, they can't get it done. So we'll do a financial component.
Okay.
We will do a legal component. And then we will do a just a general caregiver. And that usually, it's about a 6 hour, 5 or 6 hour a day. And the caregiving is tips for families and how to deal with it, how to get through it. And it is for both the family, and it also works for people that work in facilities.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And when do y'all do this?
We do that in the summer.
Okay. In the summer.
Our last one was in August, so we might do it a little earlier next year. I had to pack the back end of the year pretty full because I'd had some knee replacement surgery in the spring, which kind of kept me a little bit confined. So we try to do that sometime in the middle of the year.
Okay. And they can get that information from your website.
They can get it from the website, and they can also follow us on Facebook, Alzheimer's Tennessee, the Cumberlands.
Okay.
And because that one is specific to this region, and I try to post everything on that that's coming up, and then pictures of things that we have done.
So, Melanie, what, you know, caring for someone with Alzheimer's can be rewarding and exhausting. So what, you know, do you have a one piece of advice or one pearl that you like to tell people that you have for caregivers who might be feeling overwhelmed or isolated? Because you said you get these phone calls. So
yeah.
I'm just like, what are you saying to these people?
You got to take care of yourself.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the, I know it's overwhelming, but you've got to take care of yourself because you've got all this on you. And if something happens to you,
yeah,
then there's nobody there to take care of your person. So that's the, and they just feel like they can't let go. And I understand that. But taking care of the caregiver themselves is the thing. Mm-hmm. That and sometimes you just got to walk away and just get a little bit of a respite from it.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing is it's hard. And people that haven't walked that walk don't really understand how hard it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But just to be able to take care of yourself. And sometimes you just got to laugh about it, too, because there are funny stories that you deal with. It might not seem funny at the time.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to laugh with it.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Melanie, I just want to thank you so much for joining us today and for the important work that you're doing for Alzheimer's Tennessee families in our state. For more information or to find resources for upcoming events, please visit alztennessee.org, and that's ALZ Tennessee.org.